Hello and welcome to Digital Insights, featuring topics from the BoagWorld.com blog. My name is Paul Boag, and on this podcast I offer advice on user experience and digital transformation. Today I want to talk to you about personalization and what it really means for your website. Because website personalization seems to cause a lot of confusion. It comes in many forms and not all of them are appropriate to every site. Don't insist on personalization unless you have a clear idea of what you mean and what benefits you expect. In truth, many website owners rush into website personalization before they've got more fundamental building blocks in place. Before you look at anything like personalizing the user experience, you first need to ensure that your experience is accessible, relevant, and usable. Only then should you start to personalize what you're delivering to users. Look, don't get me wrong, website personalization is incredibly powerful, especially on e-commerce sites. There's a good reason why Amazon has invested so heavily in it. But just because Amazon does personalization doesn't mean your website should too. Then, of course, there's the considerable investment required in implementing any kind of website personalization feature similar to that you would find on Amazon. That's not the kind of feature request that you merely tag onto a redesign project. It will need a well-considered business case before you even think about implementing it. In reality, most requests for website personalization are ill-informed and ill-advised. In fact, in many cases, people aren't really even clear what they mean by personalization. So, with that in mind, let's look at seven types of personalization and their pros and cons. In doing so, let's look beyond the Amazon-style website personalization and consider the many other options that are available to you, options that are in many cases more effective and cheaper. Take, for example, personalizing the experience through email and social media. There are many scenarios where a user identifies themselves to an organization. That might be signing up for some form of notification, like a newsletter, or follow an organization via a social media channel. When a user identifies themselves, they often provide valuable information about themselves and their needs, and that allows us to target communications with them using something called segmentation. For example, this might occur through a targeted email campaign or Facebook advertising. Because we know about users, we can personalize the content we send to them to meet their individual needs. This type of personalization is easy to implement and involves very little technical investment because it largely relies on third-party systems like Facebook or MailChimp or whatever. That said, the degree of personalization will be constrained by the available data on users. For example, a mailing list is of little use if all it has is somebody's email address. That's why this approach works better when it's supported with some form of customer relationship system that includes richer data on users. The downside of this approach to personalization is that it requires your organizations to be continually creating new content to engage with the segments that you've built. That might be new social media content or new email updates, but whatever the case, it is time-consuming. Another type of personalization you might want to look at is campaign personalization, which is a term used to describe website content personalized to support on or offline campaigns. For example, imagine you're sending a direct mail campaign. Instead of including a generic website URL in the literature you send out, you'd provide a unique website address directing users to a customized landing page. The website landing page can be heavily tailored to your audience and the messages that are included in the campaign itself. You can use these personalized landing pages for everything from referring websites, so traffic that's coming from a particular website, all the way through to email campaigns that target a specific sector. In every case, the principle is the same. Customize the experience based on where users are coming from. This form of website personalization is incredibly useful because it provides users with a tightly integrated experience from initial contact to call to action. That makes it ideal for improving your site's conversion rate. What's more, they involve no additional technical development. In most cases, you can easily create this kind of landing page within your average content management system. However, they are limited and time-consuming to create. You need to design each landing page individually, and the scope of each page is going to be limited to a small number of very similar campaigns. Then there's geographical personalization, which customizes content based on the geographic region that the user is in. For example, you might want to redirect users from India to a page specifically designed for an Indian audience. Geographical personalization can be used to offer translations of content or to customize content that appears on existing pages. Of course, this kind of translation can be time-consuming and expensive to produce. Also, just because someone appears to be accessing your website from a particular country doesn't mean that's where they're based. People travel, and many organizations route traffic through different countries. If a user is misidentified as being from a particular geographical region, it can be hard for them to get back to the correct country content. That said, geographical personalization is relatively easy to implement and can be a powerful way of attracting international audiences and showing that your organization is committed to meeting their needs. Another option that's available to you is a bit more specific, and that's IP customization, which attempts to recognize the user through their IP address. Although most users access the web via an ISP, we can identify corporate and institutional users from their IP address. In other words, it's possible to know if your user is likely to be coming from a particular company or even a competitor. Knowing where a user comes from allows you to customize the content to reflect their needs or personalize the messaging on your site. Typically, this might involve changing homepage content to address the company you are targeting directly. Unfortunately, like geographical personalization, IP addresses can be misleading. Many IP addresses are not reflective of the company for which the user is working. Also, if the user is working away from the office, there's no way of identifying them as an employee. IP lookup can also cause performance issues as it relies on third-party services, and that can negatively affect the user experience. Also, you will need to create personalized content for each of the companies you're targeting, fairly obviously. That said, a personalized experience based on a company's IP address can create a delightful, engaging, and personal experience. Content can be more personalized, and because this kind of personalization is rare, it can make your company stand out from the crowd. Another way your company can personalize the experience on a website is to reflect either the time of day or the time of year. Although this might not seem as highly personalized as some of the other techniques discussed in this post, it can be useful if done right. You can use time-based personalization as an opportunity to empathize with users by making educated guesses about their situation based on time. For example, are they accessing your site late at night or on a public holiday? If so, perhaps we can guess that they're working into the evening or on their day off, and we can empathize with that. Of course, the downside of this approach is that it involves customization based on geography too, because what is late night to one user can be early morning to another in a different country. Also, your educated guesses about user behavior can be wrong, and that can undermine a connection with your user rather than build it up. Nevertheless, if done right, it can resonate with users in a way that something like a recommended product might not. The most common form of personalization is when a user can personalize content once they've created an account. By logging in, a user identifies themselves, and so content and functionality can be tailored around their needs. And that typically involves adding or removing content modules or creating quick links to functionality they regularly access. The obvious downside of this approach is that it requires the user to create an account, something they're often unwilling to do unless it's a site they're using on a regular basis. Now, it is possible to do account customization without a user actually having to log in by relying on cookies. However, users often clear cookies, and so any customization options will be lost. Also, allowing a user to personalize a site to their needs is not always that useful depending on the website. Other than providing shortcuts to relevant content, something that could be achieved just as easily by bookmarking a page, there's often little benefit to end users for having an account. Finally, site personalization based on account creation is also a substantial piece of technical work and often involves integration with other systems. In short, account-based personalization is better being used for web apps than it is for content-heavy or even e-commerce sites in some situations. So finally, we turn our attention to the type of personalization that we're most familiar with, and that is the Amazon-style related content, something that we're aware of from e-commerce sites like Amazon. It refers to recommendations based on what content you've previously viewed and the behavior of other users. Now, Amazon have spent millions on the creation of their content matching algorithm, and it's only because of their scale that this kind of investment could be justified. Yes, some third-party e-commerce platforms offer similar functionality, but the quality of results returned is often mixed. However, not all related content personalization needs to be as sophisticated as Amazon. For example, it would be possible to use data to match associated posts on a blog. In other words, we could create relationships between articles based on user behavior. If somebody liked a post, they might like other posts that previous users had read. Of course, an even simpler approach would be to simply manually identify the relationship between articles using tags or categories. No fancy algorithm required there. This basic approach to related content personalization can be a useful way of reducing bounce rates and keeping users engaged. However, ensuring good recommendations can prove time-consuming, as content will need to be carefully tagged. Alternatively, it will require significant technical investment to provide a good matching algorithm. That said, with the continual improvement in machine learning and big data, this will probably prove more cost-effective in the future. It is certainly an area worth keeping your eye on. Look, this podcast is far from a comprehensive analysis of personalization options, and I have made many generalizations in order to keep things simple. But hopefully, it has shown that personalization is a broad topic with many approaches that can be adopted. The key takeaway is that personalization is a complex area and not something that can be easily plugged into a website. It can prove expensive, and so there is a need to make sure there is a clear idea of how it will generate a return for your business. In short, make sure you've done everything else you can do before running headlong into the world of website personalization.